Today on Maine Calling, soccer captures Maine's heart. For many people, 2025 will be remembered as the year soccer fever took hold of Maine. The Portland Hearts of Pine professional soccer team kicked off its inaugural season in March. That season ended just this past week after the team made it to the semifinals of the league playoffs. But the story isn't just about how good the team played, but rather what it meant for fans and for people all over Maine. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we explore the excitement and joy surrounding this brand new team. What's the magic behind this community spirit? And what's next for Hearts of Pine? Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling is made possible by contributing listeners and support from Rennie's, a Maine shopping adventure throughout Maine, now open in Bangor, Waterville, and Augusta. And by Maine Seacoast Mission, delivering healthcare, education, and support to islands and coastal Downeast communities. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. The inaugural season of Maine's only professional soccer team, Hearts of Pine, tapped something deep for thousands of fans, something joyous and contagious. Today, we look back on the phenomenon that is Hearts of Pine with the team's head of marketing, brand, and creative, Josh Lane. And of course, we want to hear from you. Did you jump on the Hearts of Pine bandwagon? Did you get to see any of the games? We invite you to join the conversation. Send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, post a comment on social media, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Again, the number different than the number for the membership drive. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. And I ought to mention that standing by, actually right now, as engineer for this program is our own Sam Tracy, but we'll be hearing from Sam later on because the Maine Calling team has been hearing about Hearts of Pine for a very long time, thanks to Sam, and he is a part of the Dirigo Union fan base. But anyway, first we're going to talk to Josh, and Josh, welcome. Nice to see you.
Jennifer, thanks so much for having me, and thanks so much for shining a light on what's been a really incredible inaugural season.
Really incredible inaugural season. Early on, people were describing this as not a team or a club, but a movement. What do they mean by that?
Yeah, soccer is the medium through which, you know, the ambition of this organization and really the organization's founder, Gabe Hoffman Johnson, is to do as much good for the city and state that he calls home. And I think everybody who's been a part of this journey, from Sam and the Valentine's Bandits in the stands to those of us in the front office, the players, we're all bought into that idea of making the biggest and the best impact we can. And soccer happens to be this incredible medium to do that with. It's the world's game, and turns out it's also Maine's game.
So it's about sport, but it's not about sport.
Yeah. You have this, you know, third division professional soccer team, right? The guys who play for the club are doing this for a living. But we only play, you know, 30 games a year. What do you do with the rest of that time? How do you make an impact? How do you create positive change? How do you, like you said, build a movement? And for 5 years now, to some degree, it started with Gabe Hoffman Johnson, our founder. It probably started even before that with people getting together at places like the Zoo here in Portland and other local soccer bars saying, you know, what if we had our own team? And for years and years, people sort of through town hall processes, through showing up for one another, eventually the founding of the Dirigo Union, people have found ways to sort of lean in and say yes to this idea of the way soccer should be here in the state of Maine.
What if we had our own team? And that's really interesting because Portland has some other professional teams, and they're beloved, but
Yeah.
they're different because they're all part of a larger organization, right? I mean, we have the Portland Celtics, we have the Portland Sea Dogs, which are double A team of the Red Sox. This is different, correct?
Absolutely. So you have affiliations in all of those contexts, right? The players who you're seeing in those contexts are sort of vying for the opportunity to go down to Boston. At Portland Hearts of Pine, at Fitzpatrick Stadium, Ollie Wright, JT Kamara, Titus Washington, Hunter Morse, they're competing for the people in the stands right there. They're competing for the badge on their chest, not the name on their back. They are well and truly, giving everything they can for this shared mission, this shared vision of performing at the highest level for Mainers. So there's this give and take of state pride of place that I think is distinct, and I think people have reacted to. And it's not to say that the local teams here in Portland and around Maine aren't incredible in their own ways, but I think people have craved something like this, and the response has been sort of evidence of that.
Yeah, so but just to be clear, it's not a franchise of another team. It is an independent professional organization.
Yeah, there's only two other clubs in the world at the professional level who have Hearts, in their name. That's Hearts of Midlothian in Scotland, and Hearts of Oak in Accra in Ghana. So there is, similarity in that regard, but otherwise Hearts of Pine is a true original.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the name because it's unconventional. How was it decided?
Sure. So credit due to not just Gabe, the founder, but Burke Cherry and a whole lot of contributors by way of years of town halls to sort of arrive at that name, because the story of this club is one that was, an idea before the COVID pandemic, and it sort of evolved through community conversation for a number of years. And eventually along the process, of course, everyone's asking, what's this team going to be called? What are you going to name it? And the question was always sort of returned, what do you think we should name it? And as the sort of naming and branding and logo development process went on, of course, Kevin Farmer, who was sort of revealed as one of the Valentine's Bandits, passed away right around the same time as they were deciding the name. And this tradition of hanging hearts up on the eve of Valentine's Day every year has sort of not only caught on in Portland, but far beyond it, as this, in the depth of winter, people just for no credit, for no reason, spread this sort of beautiful message of joy and hope at our darkest sort of moment of the year. And there's something so optimistic, so like true to Maine about that. Let's go freeze our butts off in the middle of the night and do this thing that'll put a smile on people's faces tomorrow for no reason other than to do it. And so, Hearts was kind of this name choice that paid homage to that legacy and kind of continued it as well. And the phrase that's kind of come with that of lead with your heart, again, makes it so much more than soccer. You've got, teachers telling us that middle school kids wear our merch that says lead with your heart to school, and they're like, oh man, finally a good message walking around the halls. Yeah, Hearts of Pine, we're in the Pine Tree State. It's 89 to 90% forestry. The actual core, the sort of heart of those great white pines is a piece of Maine's identity and history as well, from shipbuilding to, just a good walk in the woods. We sort of wanted to tie that in as well. And you have so many teams that are called FC, SC, United, And in that mix, you've got something really original in Hearts of Pine.
Yeah, and I saw you there, got the chance to go to a game, and I noticed everybody makes the little heart symbol with their hands. You're
Right.
wearing the t-shirt right now, lead with your heart. Hearts of Pine is often just shortened to hearts. And that's pretty wonderful. I want you, if you will, and I know you've probably got them at your fingertip, to share some numbers because somebody may not quite realize the phenomenon. When I saw you a couple of weeks ago, Josh, you told me that there were 4,000 people on the waiting list for season tickets. Has that number grown?
Yeah, last week I heard it grew to 5,000.
Okay.
So
An
for con
indication. And then
yep.
you set all sorts of league records this year, right? In the inaugural season.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track of the numbers because they're sort of this overwhelming affirmation of this dream we all had. We have capacity for around 6,000 people. The Tuesday night game that you came to, we sold a few extra standing room tickets, and we set a league record for the highest attendance of 6,440.
Of any game of any team. Yeah. Not just
Any team, yep. Since the league's inception, so that's an achievement in and of itself. But I think more compelling is that every single game this year was sold out. So not only are we having big moments, but there's a sustained sort of interest and love for this team. Everybody who's gone wants to come back again. We could, on paper, double the size of the stadium, and we would still not be able to match the demand. To be a part of this week in and week out, which is a pretty unique position to be in the world of sports. And I think we're so grateful for the way that Mainers and Maine has embraced this team and sort of seen themselves in it as well.
I understand there are season ticket holders in every single county in Maine, but as you said, all the matches are sold out. And also, it is even if someone could get a ticket, not everyone can drive the 3 or 4 hours or 5 hours to a game. So, what do you do for fans, Hearts of Pine fans that are not in the greater Portland area and don't have a ticket to the game?
Sure. Well, I will say no personally now. Dozens of fans who drive from everywhere from the county to MDI to folks in the mid-coast. We've got a lot of people who do commute as season ticket holders, which is incredible. You then also have all of these organic, happening on their own. Watch parties popping up. The Gem Theater in Bethel has been screening all of the films, for example. There's been watch parties all over the mid-coast. Up in Presque Isle, there's a contingent of supporters who watches every game together. So there's sort of self-organizing happening. But then there's also, we aspired to this. We sort of had a feeling that we could get here if we did it right. And so before we sort of opened tickets to the public, we announced a community ticketing initiative, right? So it's part of our greater sort of impact programming, but over the course of the season, around 1,500, 1,600 tickets were set aside for community organizations around the greater Portland area. So Portland Public Schools being one of them, but kids and populations who otherwise probably wouldn't be able to get tickets. We're sort of guaranteed to be able to get tickets through that initiative. So that's just one of the ways that we've done that this year.
Josh, I hear there may be a women's team on the planning board. Is that right?
Sure. Yeah. I think you guys helped break that news a number of weeks ago, and I think it was the most liked post that I've seen on Instagram in a while, which is really encouraging. There is an aspiration in so many regards to grow access to this game, representation in this game in the state of Maine, and a women's team is absolutely part of that. The road to that is, hopefully and intentionally going to be as thoughtful as the road to the men's team has been. So there's conversations that we want to have internally. There's conversations that we want to have with the community. There's town halls to be had. We're just at the sort of end of the first season of the first iteration of this, and we're already thinking about how do we evolve and continue to make this more accessible.
Well, we are talking about Hearts of Pine on Maine Calling, soccer in Maine, professional soccer in Maine, and the phenomenal first season. What do you want to ask? 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. We will be right back after this quick break.
Hello, listening to Maine Calling here, and just taking a few brief moments to ask for your gift of support to Maine Public Radio. Call 1-800-866-1475 or mainepublic.org. And we're here asking for you to support this incredible program that it brings you today, Hearts of Pine, the soccer team that has just taken off. It's really taken the hearts of Mainers, I'd say, Melissa.
They've become an institution so quickly. And you know who else is an institution? Maine Public. Today's the day to show your love for Hearts of Pine and for Maine Public. It's New Friend Friday. We have a goal to welcome 150 members today, and when we do, we will unlock $25,000 for Maine Public, courtesy of avid supporter David Rockefeller Jr. So we are so excited to have that. If you have not picked up the phone yet, it's day three of our fall fundraiser. We have some wonderful volunteers in the room who are waiting to take your call, 800-866-1475.
That's right. Two easy ways to give, 1-800-866-1475, or go over to mainepublic.org. It's our New Friend Friday Challenge. We have that goal, you heard Melissa talk about it, of welcoming 150 new members today. And when we do it, it unlocks $25,000 for Maine Public. That's courtesy of David Rockefeller Jr. So do your part. Call right now. Of course, unprecedented times here at Maine Public Radio, loss of federal funding. We are trying to make up the difference. We've always relied on our listener contributors who've been incredibly generous over the years, over 60 plus years. Now we're asking folks to step up once again during these unprecedented times to call 1-800-866-1475 or go over to mainepublic.org.
Oh my gosh, I heard the phone ring. Thank you. Whoever that was, we really appreciate your phone call, 800-866-1475. 1475. The volunteers are, they're listeners just like you who are spending some time here this morning answering the phone. They're super friendly. They'll walk you through the process. 800-866-1475. The 150 new donors, new members is, it's ambitious, but we're going to do it. But we can only do it with your help. So give them a call now, 800-866-1475.
Getting ready to head back to Maine Calling in just a moment. That incredible team, our whole local news team, all supported by listener contributions just like yours, ask you to become an evergreen friend when you call 1-800-866-1475 or go to mainepublic.org. That is when you choose the amount that works for your budget, it works for your wallet. Many people choose the $20 a month or $30 a month level, and you can put it on your credit card, but we're asking folks this time around to consider doing EFT. Mm-hmm. That's the electronic fund transfer. That means it comes right out of your bank account. Saves us on credit card fees annually. Oh, a new member. We got the bell ringing. Thank you
welcome,
so much.
Welcome, new member.
EFT, it costs about $250,000 a year for us to process all those credit card fees. So we just ask you consider that option. 1-800-866-1475 or go over to mainepublic.org as we head back to Maine Calling. And thanks so
Thank
much.
Thank you.
And welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Our show today, all about Maine's professional soccer team, Hearts of Pine. My guest is the team's marketing director, Josh Lane. Share your comments and questions. Are you a fan? Have you been to a game? Have you been to one of these watching parties? Send us a brief email, talk@mainepublic.org. Comment on our Facebook page or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. An email here from Jeannie in Saco. Please tell the team, its leaders, and the Dirigo Union that they have brought us joy and connection that I thought even Maine lost in the political climate of the last 10 years. I am rejuvenated, and I owe it all to the hearts and the Dirigo Union. So thank you, Jeannie, for that email. On the line with us now is Mario Moretti. He is co-founder of Dirigo Union, which is the independent support group for Hearts of Pine. Mario, thanks so much for calling in.
Hey, Jen. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
What spurred you to start this, you and others, to start the supporter group?
Yeah, I mean, maybe I can start with what a supporters group is, because I think it's a unique thing in American sports. So supporters group is basically your most committed and passionate fans of a team, right? So for people who've been to the game, this is the people that are standing up for the whole match. It includes the Valentine's bands playing music and the capo leading the songs and the chants in the stadium. It's the people who travel to away games to support the team, that kind of thing. It's also sort of the unofficial or official liaison between the fans and the team. So that allows the supporters group to advocate for fans and make sure that the experience in the stadium is a really good one for everybody. So, and then I should say too, in the American context, supporters groups also tend to be the people dedicated to fostering and growing soccer generally, right? So in their communities or their state or their country. So these are the real diehards. I've been involved in supporters groups since probably around 2013. So local or regional groups that supported the U.S. national teams and the New England Revolution and my team in the English Premier League, which is Arsenal. And those are really kind of the bad old days. You know, it was hard to get local bars to show the New England Revolution or to open early for an English soccer match. You know, it was not always the easiest thing. But even still, I knew that there was a lot of passionate soccer fans in and around Portland because these were my friends. So back in 2019, though, to answer your question directly, I got connected to Hearts of Pine founder Gabe Hoffman Johnson. And he told me about his plans to bring soccer to Portland. And he didn't have to tell me much for me to be all in, you know. I had always been inspired by this one supporters group in Philadelphia called the Sons of Ben. And the thing that was inspiring to them is they support the Philadelphia Union, but they formed long before the Union did. They helped seed the ground for Division I soccer in their city by organizing fans to demonstrate, like, yes, there's a demand for this. This will be successful. And so that's what me and the other co-founders tried to do. That's Colin Durant and John Morgan. You know, we wanted to do for Portland what the Sons of Ben did for Philadelphia. So in the early days, we connect Gabe and his crew with soccer fans in Maine. We organized those fans to attend community meetings with the team or to attend the Portland City Council meetings to advocate for the stadium agreement. We connected fans with pickup soccer organizations, you know, created opportunities for fans to support that broader community. And that's all before the team even formally launched as Hearts of Pine. So I'm really proud that we haven't been here just since the beginning. We've been here in some way since before the beginning.
Mario, I have to ask you, now that we've had the inaugural season and it actually is a thing and not a dream, could you have imagined what you just experienced?
I could, and I know it sounds really egotistical to say that maybe, but I've just always had faith that this could be a really successful thing in Portland. Like I said, I mean, maybe it's because I was connected with the kinds of like crazy soccer fans who are willing to wake up at 6 a.m. to watch a game across the Atlantic or travel, you know, every weekend to Foxborough to watch a frankly not very good New England Revolution team play. But like, I just knew that there were these people who would form a whole community around this because I'd seen it. And I knew that, you know, Mainers love Maine. People in Portland love Portland. So a team to call our own, I just always had faith that would resonate. And, you know, it is maybe more successful than I could have imagined, but I never doubted that it would be a success.
Mario, for people who are not soccer fans, explain it. What is it about soccer? What makes it different?
Oh, man, that is the million-dollar question. I wish I knew. I mean, for me, what I really love about soccer compared to other sports, I love how free-flowing it is. I love how it is almost balletic. It never stops. I love that it's truly a team sport. Even if you have, you know, a big star or a couple of big stars on your team, it really takes the whole team to pull together. I love the culture around soccer that has developed, you know, where fans really feel almost a sense of ownership of their team. And maybe that's not unique to soccer, but I feel like you really do see it in soccer. And I love the sort of cultural atmosphere of it too, where, you know, when you're at the game, it's just a very different vibe. I heard you talking about this earlier. It's, you know, it's the music, it's the singing, it's the chanting. And I think that there is something unique about soccer because it's truly a global sport. It really has this power to sort of bridge people together, you know, across differences that is unique too. I don't know. It's very hard to put into words. That's probably the hardest question you could ask me, but I'd say to anyone who's listening, who's been to a Hearts of Pine game will understand it.
Well, Mario, I think you answered it really well, and I really appreciate you calling in. Mario Moretti is co-founder of Dirigo Union. Thank you so much for calling in, Mario. We have an email here from Dan. Just a quick note, we are huge Hearts fans here at the South Portland Police Department. Up the Hearts. Also, any plans to move up into the USL Championship? So, Josh, I want you to answer his question, but I want you to explain what he means by his question for non-sports fans.
Yeah, so in, you know, many leagues around the world, you have this thing called promotion relegation, right? So there's the sort of top flight, at which, you know, winning that means you move on to European competition in the English context, for example. But being at the bottom of that league, you would be relegated. So the lowest performing team moves to the league below, the highest performing team from the league below jumps up. This doesn't exist in the US currently, but it is a conversation that has sort of been ongoing since soccer, you know, became professional with the founding of MLS. There's certainly history before that. But in the last year, the USL, which is the sort of league in which the governing body of the league in which Hearts of Pine plays, has announced that they are going to look at in the coming years launch promotion relegation. So there's something for people who support this club and support grassroots soccer around the country to now get even more excited about that. If their team does well, they can be moving up in the league structure. So I think our aspiration is to be the best organization and club that we can on and off the field, and being promoted to the league above us is part of that. I will say, I think like there's some real benefit to being the sort of, you know, successful thing and the a reliable success story. I think so many clubs, you know, are still sort of finding their footing, but to have found our footing the way we have in the first year is a great jumping off point to be able to, yeah, go and dream about USL Championship and certainly the women's team and all sorts of other things.
Well, joining us now is Maine Public's very own Sam Tracy. You hear me say his name at the end of the program very often. Well, Sam is a member of the Valentine Band, the unofficial band of the Hearts of Pine. When he is not banging the bass drum or working as a sports announcer, Sam can be found doing his job as a radio operations announcer here at Maine Public. Sam has stepped away from the board. Jay Donahue's on the board now, so Sam can talk with us. Sam, how did you get involved with Hearts of Pine?
Well, it really started when I moved to Portland about a couple years ago, right as the club was announced. You know, as somebody who has followed lower division soccer here in the U.S. for a couple of years, I was very excited at the prospect of having a team that, you know, isn't necessarily attached to Boston. And so I jumped in. I joined the Dirigo Union, and, you know, I was feeling under the weather in the preseason. So I decided to quit singing, and I went up to Sean, who runs the band, and I said, hey, how can I help? And he stuck me on a bass drum, and the rest was history.
And you don't have experience playing drum, correct?
No, this is my first time.
I want to say, Sam, I think a lot of people might be surprised to learn that you are a sports fan of many sports. It's not just soccer. It seems as though a lot of people are soccer only, but you like all sorts of sports. In fact, are the announcer for the UMaine Black Bears hockey team, right?
Yeah, hockey and football.
Hockey and football, right. So, tell me how this sort of, how do you think about soccer compared to the other sports that you love?
I mean, the great thing about soccer really is the fact that it is the world game. You know, that with many of the, you know, big four sports, which is, you know, baseball, football, basketball, hockey, you know, there's an affiliated minor league structure, and, you know, it's really only confined to one country, like, you know, with the U.S., and, you know, major minor league baseball, et cetera. With soccer, it's very free-flowing. You can see, you know, you can see teams compete against each other from different countries. You know, you have the Copa Libertadores in South America. You have the UEFA Champions League in Europe. And you can see these clubs represent their communities on a global stage.
Mm. Well, I have to ask you, what's your favorite memory from this season? Can you name one?
Oh, geez, that's a hard question, Jen, because there's so many great moments to choose from. There's the first game ever when we beat CD Fylands 4-0 in the Open Cup, or, you know, the first game at Fitzpatrick Stadium, the 1-1 draw against Knoxville, Ollie Wright's hat trick against Omaha. I could go on and on. But honestly, I don't know if it's recency bias, but I'll have to say it was the game that you and Jonathan were at, the 6-2 or the 6-1 against Spokane, where my favorite memory had to be, we had the perfect angle on it. Nathan Messer coming down the right-hand side of the field and just bending a ball from left to right, and it finds the top corner of the net and sends Fitzpatrick Stadium into pure elation.
That was something. Sam, I'm so glad you were able to be part of the show. Well, your voice was able to be part of Main Calling today, and thank you for your enthusiasm and convincing us all to be there and come on board. Sam Tracy, member of the Valentine Band, the unofficial band of Hearts of Pine, also Maine Public Radio operations announcer, who will be now back on the board for the rest of the program. We are going to go to Carol, who's calling from Portland. Hi, Carol. Go ahead.
Hi there. My name is Carol Hill, and I am a teacher at East End Community School up on Munjoy Hill in Portland. I am not at school today. I'm homesick today, which is why I get to actually listen for once, because kids share germs. It's what they do. I am calling because the Hearts of Pine does an after-school program with some of our older students at East End. They do it, I think it's 3 afternoons a week. So the players actually come into the gym, play some soccer with our students. And I think that a lot of people think it's just playing soccer, but for our kids at East End, it is a lot more than that. They are seeing community members come in and care about how they're doing and remembering their names, and they get to go to the games and they get to know the individual players. And our kids have, a lot of them have sort of had some really hard landings in their life. We have a large multilingual population. We have a large population of kiddos who receive free and reduced lunch. You know, food poverty is real with our kids, and housing issues are real with our kids, and they have big worries for little kids. And these moments of being able to just play and see community members come in and be invested in who they are and want to see them improve and smile at them and wave to them when they get to go to the games. Those are moments that every child needs and deserves. And it's being provided to them in a way that I don't think we anticipated a soccer team coming in and doing. So I just want the staff to know and the players to know that they are impacting these kids. They're giving them tools. They're letting them see a pathway to their dreams. And all
Carol,
of those are huge.
I so appreciate you calling in and sharing that perspective. And Josh was nodding the entire time.
Yeah, Carol, I mean, what Carol is referring to, for anyone who's unfamiliar, is programming that lives within our impact programming called the Portland Soccer Project, which is led by Noah Riskin, who's helped build projects like this in Lewiston, in Colombia, in Bogota. He's sort of used, much like sort of Gabe's mission statement for this club, he's used soccer for good everywhere he's gone. And that really is like, I say we play only so many nights a year. What are we doing with the rest of our time? That is, you know, lead with your heart. That is the club's mission in action, is to look for opportunities to go beyond the pitch. And this program is all about using soccer as a tool for social and emotional development, leadership development, for kids who otherwise just wouldn't have access to something like this. So, Carol, thank you so much for sharing that. And I'm so glad to hear that perspective.
Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. We'll be right back.
And you're listening to Maine Public on New Friend Friday. We have an amazing challenge. We have a goal of welcoming 150 new members today. And if we do that, we will unlock a gift of $25,000 from our wonderful supporter, David Rockefeller Jr. So if you have been thinking about making a call, do it now. We've got some volunteers here in the studio, 800-866-1475. My name is Melissa Price. I'm part of the leadership gift team, and I'm here with Mark Simpson, our news director. And it is a bustling room here. We have volunteers who are just waiting to talk to you.
That's right. The phone's been ringing. The number to call, 800-866-1475, or go over to mainpublic.org. We have this wonderful goal here for New Friend Friday, our Friday challenge, to welcome 150 new members today. As you heard Melissa say, when we do, unlocks $25,000 thanks to our friend David Rockefeller Jr. But you have to pick up the phone to make that happen. 800-866-1475, remainpublic.org. Two easy ways you can give. And we just heard our own Sam Tracy on the air. And, you know, I happen to work right around the corner from Sam, and he does a great job. His enthusiasm for the Hearts of Pine is truly infectious.
That's super exciting. Super exciting. And speaking of exciting, we have a wonderful way to thank you for becoming a donor today. If you donate to Maine Public today, you will automatically be entered to win a trip to Prague, courtesy of our friends at Rhodes Scholar. This trip sounds incredible. It includes economy airfare for two from Boston, 7 nights of accommodations, 11 delicious meals, 6 expert-led field trips, and a lot more art and culture. And all you need to do is call 800-866-1475. And with the gift of today, you will be entered into that raffle.
That's right. Get into the drawing. You could be going to see the Charles Bridge, stroll it, listen to the sounds of the dulcimers that are getting hammered there, or you can go see the astronomical clock that's so famous in Prague.
That truly is a beautiful clock.
Truly an artistic city there, right in the heart of Bohemia. 800-866-1475, mainpublic.org. Go to mainpublic.org. You can find out about non-donation entry into the contest right there, but we do suggest that you make a donation, but you choose the amount that works for you, works for your budget and your wallet. Call 800-866-1475. 1475. Go over to mainpublic.org. Choose the EFT option. When you choose to give, you can become an Evergreen friend, right, Melissa?
That's right. And if you are currently an Evergreen friend or can consider becoming an Evergreen friend and can make a gift of $30 a month, we have a beautiful flannel shirt to send your way. It's charcoal, blue, and white. It's really cozy. You could wear it on the trip to Prague. All you need to do is call 800-866-1475. You can make a gift of $30 a month, get your flannel shirt, wear it to Prague, and you'll be all set. And you'll help us get to our 150-person goal. 800-866-1475. Thank you.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today's program is all about Maine's professional soccer team, Hearts of Pine. My guest, Josh Lane, the team's head of marketing, brand, and creative. You do have time to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainpublic.org or find us on social media. A few emails here have come in. Let me see. This one is an email from Tom. A supporter from New Hampshire. Have been lucky to attend a game. A good friend of mine flew up from North Carolina to see the game. A supporter as well. I am a member of Dear Ago Union. And an email here from Mary. When I first was asked to go to a match this summer, I said, sure, why not? Trying to be polite by accepting the invitation. Now I can't miss a match. No matter what the day was like, walking through the gates of Fitzy made it a whole lot better. So let's talk about the venue, Josh. Fitzpatrick Stadium has long been the football stadium for the Portland High School football team. And, you know, it's right down there next to Hadlock Field and the Portland Expo. And I know that the team, Hearts of Pine, put a lot of money into bringing it up to standards to be a professional soccer venue. But when you walk through the gates, that's not what you notice. The first thing you see is food trucks, not your typical sporting venue.
Right. Yeah. Fitzpatrick Stadium is, besides being a sort of site of so much Portland, Maine sporting history, is such a unique venue for so many cool reasons. I think the one you call out is we didn't have traditional concessions. And we knew that going into it. And when we thought about what a match day experience could be there, it was like, sure, you're going to have the soccer, but how can you turn this place into something that feels like a street festival, something that feels like a farmer's market, something with an infectious energy that's sort of accessible to anyone, be it, you know, you're a kid and you only really care about kicking a ball and seeing your friends, or if you're a craft brewery snob, or you're from away and you're like, okay, I'm in Maine, I better get a lobster and an oyster. Like, this is the only sporting event that I know of where you can get those things. Probably the only soccer team in the world where you can get fresh oysters shucked right there. So it's so unique for many reasons. And I think my favorite sort of anecdote is when the team who sets up and tears down the stadium finishes their night around midnight or 1 a.m. or 2 a.m., whatever it is, because it's a public facility. We need to be in and out every single game day, leave it better than we found it. And every time we're packing up, there are kids there waiting to jump on the field with a ball in their hands, ready to play. So the investments that this club made, the way that facility has been improved, it benefits the whole community. And getting to share that pitch is, I think, unique in the soccer world, and something we don't take for granted.
Josh, earlier in the program, we talked about how the games are all sold out, how many people are on the waiting list for season tickets. Are there any plans to try and expand Fitzpatrick Stadium for future seasons?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, a conversation that goes beyond, you know, Portland Hearts of Pine. That's something that obviously it's a city owned facility, right? So the conversation has to be inclusive of you know, leadership at the city. And I think many of them have come to games this year and enjoyed it. And, you know, we had the mayor wishing the boys well ahead of the semifinal this past weekend. So I think there's plenty of good conversation there, but yeah, it doesn't belong to us. So it has to be something that we all sort of share in. But, you know, we know people want to be there, and we know we want to make it accessible to as many people as possible. So we're also looking at, in year two, how does that stadium experience improve? How do we find more places for literally people to stand and be comfortable in that stadium without sort of detracting from what has become such a, you know, positive community living room.
An email here from Jonathan. Does your fan base represent the people of Maine or the greater Portland area, Portland Hearts of Pine? We talked about this a little bit earlier, but Josh, is there anything you'd like to say about how the team thinks about itself and who is actually reflected in the fan base?
Yeah, you have through soccer, a few people who've called in have mentioned it's the world's game. You have the most diverse audience that loves this game of I think any sport in the world, because the whole world loves it. And that is reflected every time you walk through the gates at Fitzy. You are going to find people of every creed, color, ace, gender, race, that, you know, the state of Maine is home to. It's this sort of community living room where no matter your politics, no matter your belief system, you are sort of welcome, you are safe, you are encouraged to, you know, sort of be vocal and be supportive of this thing that everything else sort of seems to fade away when you are there. So I would say the sort of season ticket base, the people who come to the games, and everyone involved in, you know, the Derrigo Union and the programming is truly a reflection of all Mainers. And if you look through everything we've done from the launch of the brand onwards, we don't usually sort of put our players even front and center. We usually put Mainers front and center. When we launch a jersey, when we celebrate a big moment, we're doing it through the lens of people who have, you know, called Maine home for a long time. So,
yeah. And to be clear, if Jonathan didn't hear this before, you have season ticket holders in every single county in Maine, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Our jerseys have sold to every part of the state, as well as every part of the country and 30 other countries. So, you know, people who have their hearts in Maine all over the world are supporting this country near and far.
We'll go to Sarah, who's calling from Portland. Hi, Sarah. We're tight on time. If you could be quick, that'd be great.
Hi there. Thanks for having me. I am the manager over at Opry here in Portland. We're one of the sponsors of the Hearts of Pine this year, and we hosted all of the official after parties after the home games. I just wanted to speak on how, like, incredible it was for the community to see people, you know, pour in here, like, on a Sunday night when it's cold outside and it's dark and everyone's wearing their gear, and the staff here is so excited. Like, I never need to ask anyone to wear the gear on game days. Everyone just shows up ready to go, and we've loved working with the team.
Well, Sarah, thanks so much for calling. Yeah, so Josh, we are tight on time, but I have to ask you, the fans have really fallen in love with so many of the players. Will they be coming back next year? Is it too early to know?
Yeah, it's a little early probably to know for sure. There's conversations that, you know, the coaching staff are having with all of those guys. And I think what is unique probably in the world of sport is that when the season ended, these guys were just as heartbroken as everybody else. I think they all sort of fell in love with the community that exists here and the way that they were supported. And, you know, when that sort of heartbreaking loss happened in the semifinal last weekend, the messages after the game weren't of, oh man, I can't believe you guys didn't, you know, get across the finish line or didn't get to the final. The messages were universally of gratitude and of sort of celebration and sort of mutual appreciation for what I think many of us feel is like a gift to the state and to the city. So all that said, I think we're just getting started, and many of the players who helped this year will be a part of that future.
Well, Josh, thank you so much for your time today. Josh Lane, the team head of marketing, brand, and creative for Hearts of Pine. Today's sound engineers were Sam Tracy and Jane Donahue, who helped out when Sam was on the air. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. And if you haven't signed up for our newsletter, do so. It tells you what's coming up in the coming week. It's go to mainecalling.org. It's free, easy to sign up. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.
Room full of volunteers here at Maine Public Radio. We're asking for your call, 1-800-866-1475, or going over to mainepublic.org. Hi, I'm Mark Simpson along with Melissa Price. We're asking for your support during this day 3 of our fall fundraising campaign. And two easy ways to do it. You just pick up the phone, call that number, 1-800-866-1475, or go over to mainepublic.org to support. And today, on New Friend Friday, we've got a member challenge happening.
That's right. We have a goal of welcoming 150 new members today, and when we do, it will unlock $25,000 for Maine Public, courtesy of our friend David Rockefeller Jr. An incredible opportunity. If you've been listening to this Pledge Week and you've been thinking about when is the right time to make the call, why don't you end your week and start the weekend with a gift to Maine Public, 800-866-1475, or you can go to mainepublic.org. Our volunteers are here, and One of them just walked in with a plate full of food, and it smells amazing. So we would just like to take this opportunity to thank Terlingua for bringing some amazing platters of food. I cannot wait to get my hands on it. Looks and smells delicious.
That's right. We got to get through this break, though. 1-800-866-1475 or mainpublic.org. You know, many people choose to become an Evergreen friend, and if you join at $30 a month as an Evergreen friend or $360 annually, we'll be offering you the brand new Maine Public flannel shirt. It's a gray color with a white and blue detailing, tastefully embroidered over the chest pocket there with the Maine Public logo. Extremely soft cotton blend, which is what I look for in a flannel shirt. When I reach in the wardrobe and I grab the flannel, I move past the rough ones and choose the soft cotton blend shirts that go so well. Stylish unisex fit, yours for $30 a month when you call 1-800-866-1475 or mainpublic.org. Melissa, love that flannel.
There were some colleagues wearing the shirt yesterday, probably today too. And
I think they were sharing the shirt. I saw in a video.
We need more. I've heard from some folks who are curious about how do you get one. You call 800-866-1475, or you can go to mainpublic.org. If you are already a member and you're already maybe an Evergreen donor and you are giving maybe $20 a month, if you are able to increase to $30 a month, we would be thrilled to send you one of these lovely flannel shirts. Or if you would like to make a one-time gift of $360, one of those can be yours. And by doing that, you, if you are a first-time member, you would be able to help us get to our goal of 150 new members during this today.
That's right. You unlocked the challenge there. 150 new members unlocks $25,000 from our friend David Rockefeller Jr. Thanks to him, you could be one of the ones who helps to unlock this on the New Friend Friday Challenge. Plus, you'd get entered into a drawing to go to Prague, the Czech Republic, the heart of it. You get a trip for two, economy airfare out of Boston, 7 nights of accommodations, 11 meals. I guess drinks are on you, but expert-led field trips, 6 of them. You'll be joining a small group of Rhodes Scholars, gain an understanding of the art, the architecture, the history of Prague, plus you might find a nifty shop selling some fine bohemian crystal. 1-800-866-1475 or go over to mainpublic.org. Get yourself entered in the Trip for Two giveaway to go to Prague.
And we've already heard from so many of our listeners. I'd like to thank Jean from Deer Isle. Thank you so much. Patricia from Lubeck, Anna from Portland, and Lee from South Portland. Thank you so much for taking time today to support Maine Public. Now more than ever, we are our community support is important. You are our community. Give a call today, 800-866-1475, or you can go to mainpublic.org.
1-800-866-1475. Gifts in up to the $5 and up amount get you entered into PBS Passport, where you could be watching the brand new Ken Burns series on the American Revolution. Get revolutionary in your house with your friend Ken Burns. Of course, PBS's eminent documentarian. Ken's been working on this one for a long time. It's been in the pipeline, and we've been thinking about the revolution for a good long while. But episodes coming out soon on PBS Passport. It's like the Netflix of PBS. 1-800-866-1475 or mainpublic.org.
And I think the winter season is really when you need to have access to Passport. Passport is PBS's streaming service. I know that my family is waiting to watch the next season of All Creatures Great and Small. So if you would like to be able to cozy up in your flannel shirt and watch some great content, call 800-866-1475 and go to mainpublic.org. Our volunteers are here, and while they're enjoying their lunch, they would also be happy to answer your call. They'd love to hear from you right now.
That's right, 800-866-1475 or mainpublic.org. $30 a month gets you the brand new Maine Public flannel shirt. Cozy and soft, you can wear it as you're reading up on your Vaclav Havel, thinking about that trip to Prague, or maybe reading something more Kafkaesque. All up to you. Make your choice now, though, when you call 1-800-866-1475 or go over to mainpublic.org.